Hallelujah. We're going to sing Not By Might. Oh, sing not by might. No, not by power.
Not by power, but by
Here, touching every heart. You are here all together now, touching me. God, I exalt thee.
above all the earth. Of the heavens and the earth. We come before you with thanksgiving. Come before your God with praise, worship, and adoration. For we know, God, that there is no God like you. There is no name like your name, no power like your power. But we come not only because you are the God who blesses us, the God who heals, delivers, saves, redeems, and sets free. We come today just to honor, just to adore you, just to say we are thankful that you are God and God alone. Receive our worship. Be magnified in our praise. Let our testimonies, O God, Father, this day rise before you as sweet incense. Be pleasured, O God, by our praise. Thank you, Father. Only you are God, and there is none besides you. Blessed be your holy name forever. Yahweh, we call on your name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I know I'm singing the wrong lyrics, but I know the tune. But I keep on singing this song this way. Your name is Yahweh. But I know that's not the right words. No. Your name is Yahweh. Your name is Yahweh. The God who opens doors, no man can shut. Okay, that's the one. He's not my man.
You're not a man, no. You're the God who opens doors, no man can shut. You're not a man, no. You're not a man.
of everything, no one like you.
That's the right one.
You're not a man, oh, you're not a man, oh, you're the God who opens doors no man can shut. You're not a man, oh, you're not a man, oh, you're the God of everything, no one like you.
Hallelujah. Glory be to God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, Lord.
And lift up your voice.
Kiraba shandaba robo shaka. Reba la do soko tobo shaka.
Oh, Father, we appreciate you. We appreciate you, Lord. There's no man like you and not a man. You made man in your image. Man is just a part of you, but you are the God of everything. Father, we worship you. We came this morning to meet with the living God. God who made the heavens and the earth, who made me and made you and made everything. He made air. He made oxygen. He made water. He made land, he made earth, he made all the stars, he made everything in the heavens, the sun, the moon, everything bow and worship him. Everything that's got breath, if you have breath in you this morning, can you say hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. The word of God says, let everything that has breath praise his name. You need to praise him with your own voice. You need to praise him with your own song. You need to praise him with your own hands. Clap your hands, all ye people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Let your shout drive the enemy out of your midst this morning. Shout! Hallelujah! comes crumbling down.
Amen.
The God who opens doors that no man can shut.
Yes.
That God has opened the door for us.
Yes. Hallelujah.
He is the way, the truth, and the life.
Hallelujah.
He is the door. The door to everything that is good, that is pure, that is healthy, that is whole, that is powerful,
hallelujah,
that is joyful. Hallelujah. The door is in the house. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh Lord, my God, you are my door. The door where we find green pastures. The Bible says you go in and out. John 10, that you go in and out and you find green pastures. Hallelujah. You are my door. Somebody say, he is my door.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory to
We've
God.
Been granted access to the Father, to everything that is good. This is a God you are worshiping.
Yes, Lord.
You didn't come to worship man. You didn't come to give accolades to man. You came to praise the living God.
Hallelujah.
If you came to praise him this morning,
amen,
shout hallelujah!
Hallelujah!
Hallelujah! Hallelujah to the King of Glory. Father, we thank you for being in our midst.
Yes, Lord.
We thank you that every worship we gave to you, every adoration, every thanksgiving, every appreciation, let it be acceptable to you, O Lord, in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you for opening the door for us to be back in the house of the Lord.
Yeah.
Well, even though they've not given us permission to have full service, but Lord, you are here. We are getting a full service.
Amen.
Lord, nothing can restrict your children from
yes,
your presence.
Lord. Yes, Lord.
We have access. Because
hallelujah,
you are not a God who just dwells in buildings, you dwell in our hearts.
Yes, Lord.
And our heart praise you.
Yes, Lord.
Our heart magnify his holy name.
Hallelujah.
You are God and God alone.
Amen.
Thank you, God, that this virus will be out of our nation, out of people's lives, that the people of God can be back fully in the house of God, magnifying his name, dancing to the King of Glory. The light of God will continue to shine in his temple in the name of Jesus.
Amen.
We thank you for every family.
Hallelujah.
Everyone that hears the sound of my voice, touch their family. Minister grace to them.
Amen.
From age 120 plus to zero,
yes,
you are the God who opens door, God of miracles.
Amen.
God who answers prayer.
Amen.
Answer their prayer.
Amen.
Keep everyone in divine health. In the name of Jesus,
amen,
they are all covered with the blood of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Those in the womb, those in sin form, those in their loins, they are covered in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Almighty God, that the Abrahamic blessing is functioning in every one of us. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah.
Praise
well,
God.
Good morning, everybody, or God day.
Amen.
Thanks, worship team. Praise the Lord. Well, it's good to see all of you together again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. All right. We're going to read Psalm. Oh, that's Sarah is trying to talk to me. I don't need you right now. So praise the Lord. Okay, Psalm 1. Yeah, very Psalm 1. Psalm 1. Just 6 verses. So praise the Lord. If you are there, say praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Psalm 1. All right. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor seated in the seat of the scornful. Somebody say, I am that man. So you don't practice these three things. You don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You don't stand in the way of sinners. You don't practice what they practice. You know people are ungodly and yet you are their best friend. That is not what God called you to. You ought to be light for them. Say amen. Somebody say, I'm light. I am salt.
So when people are practicing evil, you don't join them. You don't enjoy their talk. Bible says, eschew evil. Say amen. Say amen. Some people have been in the church for the longest time. They know better than the word of God. The word of God is your guide. The word of God is your standard. Say amen. Psychology is not your standard. God is. Somebody say God is. Psychology is the words of man. Words that come from the natural psyche. But you need the word of the Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord. The sword of the Spirit. The word of God, the discerner of all things. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Verse 2, you don't sit with them. When they scorn and mock people, you are not part of that. That includes news. If you're watching the news and they are mocking and putting down people, shut it off. Say amen. Say amen. You don't start laughing and say, oh, that's so good. I wish I can say that. No, then your heart is in the wrong place. When you catch yourself enjoying that, you just say, Lord, have mercy on me and forgive me. I have wandered far away from you. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Can you say amen to that? That is a good prayer because sometimes we enjoy the misery of other people. You should not enjoy that. You should enjoy the Lord. Say amen. All right. Praise the Lord. I think our children are going to Sunday school, so we already prayed. So God bless you. Until the time we can start laying hands on individual again, you come to the front. Amen. Praise the Lord. All right. Verse 2. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law doth he meditate day and night. This is what you take delight in. Say amen. Somebody say, I delight in the Lord. When you hear the word of God and it icks you and you don't want to hear it, then you are in the scornful zone. You should be able to be happy. Even when you just sin, when you have fresh sin, you should be happy. Say, oh, the word has come for me. Lord, I receive you. Say amen. We don't run away from the word, we run to the Lord. Say amen. Meditate on that word day and night. Joshua 1 says you will find success. So if you've not been successful, you will find success. Try meditating on the word. Say amen. Rather meditate on psychological books. There's a place for that. The world needs that. But we need Jesus. Say amen. Say amen. Say amen. There are a lot of Christians who go to psychologists to solve their problem. You got the Holy Ghost. You got the Comforter. You got the answer. Say amen. Now, if you don't have Jesus and you don't have that, you do need that. You need somebody to talk to you. Then you're going to be in that program for 30 years and no change. You can get the results right now. Say amen. Hallelujah. Day and night. So if you can't sleep in the night, meditate on the word. You will sleep. Just try going on your knees and start praying and see how fast you will sleep. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Well, you should say, watch and pray. So even 1 hour, they couldn't do it. The disciples couldn't do it. 1 hour of serious prayer. May God anoint us with the spirit of prayer that you can last hours. Say amen. Say amen. I'll prove it to you if I tell you we're not going home today. We're going to be here for the next 6 hours. I'll tell you, even as I start speaking about that right away, somebody's going to the bathroom. From the bathroom, they are out. That's how much we want God. Say, Lord, have mercy on me. Verse 3, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. This is God speaking. This is God speaking. God does not lie. He will do his part. So all I need to do is meditate on him. Put my mind on him. I'll give him perfect peace, whose mind he stayed on me. Perfect peace means perfect prosperity, perfect health, perfect wealth, meaning you have more than enough for you and your household. Say amen. Say amen. That means if a vehicle is running around and Satan has sent that vehicle to destroy a place, it's not coming to your address. It misses your address. Meaning if you're on the road, accident is not for you. You hear about it, but it never happens to you. Somebody lose control, they don't lose it on you. They lose control for themselves. Say amen. The Lord will be in control. Ministry angels will be around you doing their assignment. Somebody shout hallelujah. Bible says he has given us angels regarding all our affairs. Meaning driving, you have angels that go when you drive. Meaning when you are in your house, you have angels that are there. Meaning right here in church, you have the ones that are there. They are sitting beside you. Goodness and mercy, they are right beside you. Somebody shout hallelujah. Did you welcome them this morning? Say, surely goodness, surely it's a guarantee. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Today is the day of my life. Right now is the day of my life. They are right here with me. Say hallelujah. He is the door. Verse 4, the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind driveth away. Unstable, you see? If you are still unstable and you are in God, you are ungodly. So get rid of that problem. Say amen. How do you get rid of it? Say, Lord, I repent. Have mercy on me and help me. How hard is that? Very easy. Say, I can do that. And say, Lord, I repent. Repentance is very hard for a lot of people. I don't know why. Just say, I repent. If you repent, then it gets easier. If you don't, it gets harder and more confusing. Say, I repent. I receive your mercy, Lord. Say, amen. I'm not a chaff. I am solid. Yes. Most of us don't know what chaff are, but I think you know what that is, you know? Those who grew up in the farm knows that, right? You know, the wheat and the bread that you eat, it's not the way you see it, right? It grows, it has all this strawy stuff all around it, and then they remove all the chaff, right? Before they grind them, and we have a nice thing to make our bread. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. You don't need to eat the chaff. That would be very painful for the stomach. So we eat the meat, the kernel. Praise the Lord. Verse 5 of Psalm 1. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Say amen. Should we minister to sinners? Yes, we should tell them they need to repent. They need to get saved. God loves them, and God wants them to be part of his kingdom. But we don't play games with them. Say amen. If you join the ungodly, you become ungodly. It's called contamination. If I have a beautiful, clean water, right now everybody understands what contamination is, because they say, put on your mask, right? If you don't, you breathe in the air of the other person that has COVID, and then what? That's not for us. We will not get it, but that's the rule of the land. We see, when you go to grocery store, you go anywhere, you put on your mask. It's getting quiet in this Presbyterian church this morning. Are there Holy Ghost people here? We have fire in us. Say amen. We got warmth. We are not cold. we got the fire of God. Hallelujah. 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 You know, love is warm. Love is not cold. I always make a statement. A snake doesn't love his children. You never see a snake say, let's go for a walk. Little snakeys. What? Let's go. And you see all of them going in a group. Have you ever seen that? No. But you see a duck, and you see the little ducklings. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 5. Did we read 5? Okay, one left. For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. That means the righteous do not perish, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So it might look like they are winning, but they are really running to their destruction. May God cause you to run to him and run to righteousness, run to holiness, run to love in the name of Jesus. Father, as we have read your word, let it work in our spirit, soul, and body, causing us to draw near to you, Lord, that your spirit will continue to stir our hearts, that we will walk in righteousness, walk in the path that you have created for us, not to be playing games with the world, but to know we are in this world, but we are not part of the world. We don't love what they love. We love you, and we love one another. Father, we bless your holy name. Let your word come to us today with power, with grace, with favor, with mercy and truth. We pray for the peace of Jerusalem. We pray that there be peace within her walls and her palaces. Remember your covenant, your everlasting covenant you made with our fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. In blessing will you bless us. Father, bless the nations. Israel, your glory. Israel, the apple of your eye. Israel, your firstborn. As you have done so, you have brought us into that covenant. In Jesus. And Lord, bless all the nations in the name of Jesus. Bless Canada, Nigeria, United States of America, and all the nations of the earth, islands of the seas, and also all First Nations in the name of Jesus. Let the people praise you, O Lord. Let them magnify your holy name. Heal, restore, and make whole your people. Bless our sons and our daughters. Biological, spiritual, and partners all over the world. Let your people magnify your name. In Jesus' name, bless the carrier of the word, the giver of the word, the receiver of the word, and those who run and publish your word, saying, you are the living Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.
We are thankful for the good things that God has bestowed upon our lives and for a new day in him. Praise God. Well, this weekend we've been having special meetings and we've been graced with the magnificent ministries of mighty men of God around the world. First of all, we had Bishop Charles Agnisare that shared the word of God with us, talked about heaven, and talked about the power of the blood of Jesus Christ. And yesterday we had the ministry of Papa Ayo Orisha Jafo, who came to us with a powerful word about God remembering us and God opening, giving to us an open door and an experience in him that cannot be stopped. Hallelujah. And tonight we are going to have the ministry of Pastor Paul Enenche. You know, all these ministers are seasoned men of God, anointed by God to bring breakthroughs to his people all around the world. And it's a great honor. I don't know that you even have a clue of how privileged we have been. These are just incredible men, ministers of the gospel. And when you hear the word of God from men of God, know that something changed in your life. Amen? Hallelujah. Something tremendous changed in your life. And so it is going to be tonight for you and for me that God is going to do something incredible in all of our lives. Praise the Lord. Pastor Paul is a doctor, trained doctor, that God called into the ministry. His wife is a doctor also, and pastors a mega of megas of churches. I think his church, it's not the largest membership in the world. I think that is still handled by Dr. Cho, David Cho, Yonggi Cho in Korea, where the membership of his particular church is 1 million people. And God led me there so many years ago, said, I want you to go to Korea. And I will not tell you the whole story. It is left for manifestation. Amen? Hallelujah. I went there. But a church that has the largest seating in the world is pastored by the pastor that we're going to be receiving tonight. Amen? Pastor Paul Enenche. The church seats over 100,000, about 120,000 people, one seating. Do you understand what those figures look like? You can't even imagine it, right? Okay, that's a sea of people. Hallelujah. One elevator takes, I think, 50 people? 50 people in one elevator? That's a big elevator. Can you imagine? You need elevators like that if you're going to move people. Hallelujah. Everything in order. And so we are greatly privileged to have him. He's extremely busy. Extremely busy. It's just a miracle. I believe he was the first minister who said yes to this gathering. And after he said yes, he is the most difficult to get to do what needs to be done. But he's finally going to get it done. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. Anyhow, this morning is not about announcing about this evening. This morning is about bringing a word from the Father to every one of us here, those that are listening online on all platforms, whether they're on Parler or YouTube or Facebook Live or Twitter or Twitch. There are all these names. I don't know where all these names came from. If you need a Twitch, you go to that. Hallelujah. Twitch is for gamers, I hear, and they play games there. But we want to play. I tell you what, we want to be on every platform. I don't care what they're doing. If they're, playing bingo in that channel, we want to be right there. While they are playing bingo, all of a sudden, there comes the word of God. Hallelujah. I want the word of God everywhere. Glory be to God. It's time to take over. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Are you ready for the word? I am. I want to hear God speak to me today. This message is captioned, override, overturn, overcome. Can you say those words with me? Override, overturn, overcome. One more time. Override, overturn, overcome. That's exactly what God is going to do for you and I right this very moment.
There are certain things that are going to be overridden this day, certain things that are going to be overturned, and certain things that are going to be overcome by the authority of the word of the Most High God. A few days ago, a festival called Purim was celebrated. It started on the 25th of February till the 26th. It happens to be that this festival took place in a very strange date this time. Normally, Purim most times is in March. But it's happening this time. And when the Lord marked this particular meeting, I had no idea that it was going to be Purim. But the Lord said this was the time to overturn. This was the time for overriding, overturning, and overcoming. And he said to me, I want a meeting on the 57th day of the year. I said, okay. Is there a reason for that? He said, that stands for the 50. This year is the year 5781. Now, we've been having 5700s for all these years, but God decided that this time he was going to mark it. And he was going to mark it for you and I. A few days later, I found out that it was the festival of Purim. That's when Purim was starting. And God captioned this particular gathering together with those words, override, overturn, overcome. And if there is a passage or a book in the Bible that captions those three elements of what God wants to do, it is the book that established the festival of Purim, and that book is the book of Esther. Now, I know for certain that if I try to tell you the whole story of Esther, that we will not get the points fully well made. So I'm going to be skipping a lot of stuff this morning. Very intentionally. But certain things that you cannot skip. And I will digress to those particular areas. First of all, what happens here in the book of Esther and why? What is it that God was trying to address? You see, in the Bible tells us in the book of Exodus chapter 17, if you may go there, the book of Exodus chapter 17, I'm going to take it from verse 8. The Bible tells us that God made a declaration. It tells us that the people of Israel had gone through, we're heading towards the promised land, and they've come to a place where there was no water. Things were really bad, and the people were complaining. They were griping about one issue after the other. And it was at this time that a people called the Amalekites decided to fight against Israel. And God made a declaration that he was going to be at war with the Amalekites until he wipes them all out. I asked the Lord, I said, why is it that you decided to wipe these people out? They were, you know, the people of Israel had so many enemies. And he made something very clear to me, and I want you to listen to this very carefully right now. Please don't forget what I'm about to tell you right now. What did I say? Don't forget it. Don't forget it in any aspect of your life. Don't forget what I'm going to say to you right now. What did I say? Don't forget it. Why did God hate the Amalekites? The answer is very strange and simple and true to point. He hated them because they took advantage of the Israelites at their weakest point. In your dealings in life, don't take advantage of people. Because the economy is bad, and you have cash, and this person is struggling financially, and you want to buy a property, don't go buy that property and beat them down because they have no choice. You just set yourself for a big loss. Don't take advantage of people. Decide on what God wants to decide on concerning that property. The man may be asking for $50, and if God says, I want to pay $70, pay them $70. Don't go to them and say, well, I know it's worth $50, but you know how bad the economy is right now. I'm going to give you $25. Take it or leave it. And the person says, well, I have no choice. $25 is better than nothing. Give me $25. Don't do it. Did you hear what I said? Don't do it. What did I say? Don't do it. What did I say? Don't do it. Israel was struggling. They had no water. And here the Amalekites decided they were going to attack Israel. It says, then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. Rephidim, the word Rephidim stands for support, a resting place, a place where you want to stay and be quiet for a moment. And they came and they disturbed Israel. They came and they fought against Israel. At a time that they wanted peace, they brought confusion. May you never bring confusion into the lives of people who just want to be at rest. Somebody shout hallelujah. It says, and Moses said unto Joshua, choose us out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. I'm going to stand at the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. This is a very interesting statement because this rod of God was that same rod that Moses had been carrying around everywhere he went as a shepherd. But God said it was the rod of God. Is that what the Bible says? God agreed, but it was still Moses' rod. And Moses said his rod was the rod of God. Did God argue it? No. God didn't argue with him and say, it's not my rod. No, God came into agreement with what he believed. And child of God, God is going to believe with you and stand in agreement with you concerning that which you believe this day. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, something tremendous is going to happen in our lives today as we stand before God in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. He stood. He said, Joshua, pick up men. Go fight against the Amalekites. And Joshua did. He says, So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses and Aaron and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hand that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hand, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy. And they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon. And Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, one on one side and the other on the other side. And his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. The Bible says, and Joshua discomfited Amalek. He defeated. He trashed them. Hallelujah. He discomfited Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. Praise the Lord. Who won this battle? Was it Joshua? Or was it Moses? The Bible is very clear. Faith without works is what? Dead. Faith without works is what? Dead. Faith without works is what? Dead. Did Joshua see Moses raising his hand up in the hill? No. He was focused on doing what he was called to do. But Moses was up there. Moses is tired, but Aaron and Hur are helping him. Every one of us need helpers. And here we begin to see the very first testimonies. I'm coming. I'm going to the book of Esther. But the story starts here. God is overriding what is happening down there. Hallelujah. What is happening on the backside is manifesting on the front end. Glory be to God. I tell you today, something is happening on the backside that you don't know anything about, but there will be a manifestation at the front end, because God's glory is going to sweep out every enemy, and the glory of God is going to manifest the will of God in your life. For this day, victory is established for every one of us by the authority of the word of God. Somebody shout hallelujah. Moses' hands are up there. He has the rod of God in his hand. And victory is happening down below in the valley until the Amalekites were wiped out. But the next verse tells us. It says, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua. I want you to restate this over and over again to Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. God says, I am going to wipe these guys out. There is not going to be a remembrance of them. I'm going to wipe them out. The remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. I'm going to clean these people out. They're dead to come and step and attack my people when, even though I know they were wrong, griping and complaining, for them to dare attack them at their weak point, I'm going to get rid of these people. That's why I said to you, don't forget this. The word of God continues. In verse 14 through 16, we read these words. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book, and rehearse it in the ears of Joshua, for I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar. Moses built an altar and called the name of it Jehovah Nissi. We've heard that name before, haven't we? Jehovah Nissi. We talk about Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah who is the banner over my life. Hallelujah. God says, I want this banner. I want you to have this banner over your life. I am going to destroy Amalek. I am going to destroy everyone that takes advantage of you. Ha. That's why the devil is going to be destroyed. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Bible says when Jesus was busy fasting and was now hungry, the devil showed up at a weak point. Because the devil is always trying to show up when you are weak. And the spirit of Amalek is the spirit of the devil. He comes, finds a point where you are weak and says, take this drug so you can forget your problem. Take this booze so you can forget this your problem. And he sends some woman or some guy into your life when you're weak so that you can fail. The devil's a liar. God hates that spirit, and God is going to fight for you. Hallelujah. You are broke and you need money, and there he says, just cheat here. Cheat. Nobody will know. Just cheat. God says, okay, they cheated. But you that caused them and became a tempter in their life, I'm coming after you. I'm coming after you. I tell you today, God is going after everything that has come after you. Somebody shout hallelujah. I say God is coming after everything that has come after you. To hurt you, to destroy your family, God is coming after it in the mighty name of Jesus. Somebody shout hallelujah. I am encouraged that God is on my side. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. 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 So the Bible tells us in the book of 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 2. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 2. Thus said the Lord of hosts, I remember. I want God to remember me in the right way. God says, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel. There are some things God doesn't forget. I remember what Amalek did to Israel, how he laid wait for him in the way when he came up from Egypt to entrap him. Listen, child of God. Are you here? Be careful not to entrap people. If you know the person has done something, don't push them. You're not a lawyer. Hello? You're not a lawyer. Don't push them so that they can lie. Please. Is somebody listening? Don't push them so that they now tell a lie and say, see, I know you are lying. God hates that. What did I say? God hates that. For you to be the one that will cause somebody to stumble, God hates it. Amen? Let it be. Do you know the truth already? Just let it be. Go on. Don't be the one that causes them to start lying. Don't be the one that causes them to start stealing. Don't be the one that causes them to fail. I did it. No. If God has not called you to be a lawyer, a prosecutor, stay away from that. Hello? Somebody listening? Okay? Don't say I didn't say. Verse 3. Now go and smite Amalek and utterly destroy all that they have and spare them not. but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass. Do you think God is upset? He says, kill everything. If it moves, kill it. What? God? No. God, you don't do things like this. And God says, watch me. Don't be on the wrong side. Hallelujah. And I know you're thinking, where is the override and over? Just hold on. Come on. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 8 and 9. And he took, what's the name? Agag. Say the name again. Agag. One more time. Agag. And he took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. God told him, wipe everything off. And he goes and he kills everything, and but not everything. And he takes Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive and destroyed and utterly destroyed all the people with the edge of the sword. Verse 9. But Saul and the people spared Agag. They did what? Spared. They did what? Spared Agag. What did God tell them to do? Kill them all. He spared Agag and the best of the sheep. The best of the sheep and of the oxen and of the fatlings and the lambs and all that was good. He spared all that was good and would not utterly destroy them because they were what? Good. And will not utterly destroy them, but everything that was vile and refuse, that they destroyed utterly. But that was which was good. Ah, this one. Ah, you, come on, we can destroy this. It's good. Keep this one. Keep this one. Do you know that the greatest problem is not bad stuff? That the greatest danger that faces you and I is the good stuff. The fruit that Adam and Eve ate was a bitter, ugly looking fruit, right? It was good and pleasant. What you need to be more careful of is that which comes across as really shiny stuff. That's why terrorists put their devices on shiny stuff so that kids go around and say, oh, that's nice, shiny. Poof, blow up. Be careful about what looks so harmless. You with me so far? We're going somewhere. So it was. He spared those things. Verse 14. He spared all of those things, and Samuel comes and Saul says, I did everything you said. I completed the assignment. And Samuel said, what meaneth then this bleating of the sheep in mine ears and the lowing of the oxen which I hear? Now, what is strange about that? They must have sheep and oxen. Why is it that all of a sudden he hears all of this? 15. And Saul said, they have brought them. They have brought them from the Amalekites. They, not taking ownership. It's they. You know, it sounds like our world today, you know, where terms like he and her and she are no longer acceptable. It's them. Because man does not want to take responsibility, personal responsibility, for his actions. So we want to live in the world of them. Them sister so and so. Of the foolishness of men. They brought them from the Amalekites, for the people The people spared the best of the sheep and of the oxen to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God, and the rest we have utterly destroyed. We destroyed the rest, but the people wanted this stuff. And they wanted to sacrifice it unto the Lord. 16. And Samuel said unto Saul, stay, and I will tell thee what the Lord had said to me this night. Stay. The statement stay is like, oh, you mean those, oh, the people did that. And he's walking away. And Samuel says, hey, stay. Let me tell you what God told me last night. I'll tell thee what the Lord had said to me this night. And he said unto him, say on. 17. And Samuel said, when thou wast little in thine own sight, was thou not made the head of the tribes of Israel, and the Lord anointed thee king over Israel? 18. And the Lord sent thee on a journey, on an assignment, and said, go and utterly destroy the sinners, the Amalekites, the fight against them until they be consumed. Is that what you were told to do? 19. Wherefore then didst thou not obey the voice of the Lord, but didst fly upon the spoil, and didst evil in the sight of the Lord? 20. And Saul said unto Samuel, yea, I have obeyed the voice of the Lord. I have what? Obeyed the voice of the Lord. And I've gone the way which the Lord sent me. And I've brought Agag, the king of the Amalek, and I've utterly destroyed the Amalekites. I did what God said. God said, destroy everything. He says, but I did this. I brought Agag. Why is he taking ownership of the fact that he brought Agag? His own pride. Listen, I captured a whole king. I got a king. Wherever I went, I got the king. See, you should be proud of me. I really proved myself, didn't I? I got the head honcho. I brought him back. 21. But the people took the spoil. I got the king. They took the spoil. They took the sheep and the oxen, the chief of the things which could have been utterly destroyed, to sacrifice unto the Lord thy God in Gilgal. We took it to glorify God. Listen to this. 22. And Samuel said, had the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams. I'm more interested in your obedience. It's not the amount of stuff that you bring to me. It's your obedience, that you follow the instruction. And believe me, child of God, when God gives you an instruction, the enemy will show up to block it. This morning, you know, the last few days, the Lord said, there's a certain amount of an offering I want from you today. I said, I don't normally give that, and I've given my offering already. What? Give me a break. The Lord says, that's what I want. So I said, okay, I'll give this amount in the morning, and then I'll give this amount in the evening. I said, the Lord says, no, in the morning. I said, okay. So I go to the bank. And I punch my stuff, I put my card in there, and I'm waiting for my money. I get no money. I get a receipt. I looked at the camera, I said, I didn't get my money. Thank God there are cameras. I didn't get my money. Because I'm going to go back and get my money. Praise the Lord. So I went to another bank. And I got the money that I need. But what was the devil trying to do? He wants me not to obey the instruction of the Lord. God says, this is what I want this morning. And the devil says, I'm not going to let you have that. You can't have that. I'm keeping it. But I had another appointment with God. And that appointment was to be right here at a particular time. I don't miss my time. I know the time I'm supposed to be in here. When I come here, I have to be here at 7 a.m. to have a private time with God. And here I am, stuck in front of the machine. And my time is going. I said, I have an appointment. Forget this. I'm going to meet with God. Forget about this machine. So I came and I stepped in here and I said, thank you, Lord. I'm in the house at the right time. Let's have our private discussion now. Praise the Lord. Are you with me so far? I'm saying to you, the enemy will challenge you from so that you don't obey God. Your definite decision, child of God, is this. I must obey God no matter what it's going to cost me. I will obey God. Did you hear that? Let me go on a little bit further. I'm still laying a foundation. The foundation is about this man called Agag. Let me go to verse 32. Verse 32, 1 Samuel 15, 32. Then Samuel said, bring ye hither to me Agag, the king of the what? Amalekites. And Agag came unto him delicately. And Agag said, surely the bitterness of death is past. He is coming with his arrogant self. Surely the bitterness of death is past. But he didn't know that it just came. 33. And Samuel said, as thy sword hath made women childless, so shall thy mother be childless among women. And Samuel hewed Agag in pieces before the Lord in Gilgal. Did you hear that? Hewed. Now this, when you say hewed, you're talking about not, I cut his neck off. He chopped him up in pieces. Now you say, Pastor, this is a very crude passage. Why are you telling us this story at this special meeting? This is very bloody. This is how much God hates that which is evil, that has positioned itself against you. I'm telling you right now, in this meeting, those that have stood as enemies, as obstacles to hinder you from fulfilling your destined assignment, they are in trouble right now. I don't know if you hear what I'm saying to you. I'm telling you right now, somebody is in big trouble because God is avenging his people. That spirit that dragged you into the wrong house, that person who plotted to destroy your life, make sure that you do not fulfill your destiny, brought booze and drugs and women and men and whatever into your life to destroy you so that you cannot fulfill your destiny, God's judgment is falling upon them this very moment. Because God will override every plan of the enemy. God will overturn every plan of the enemy. And God will make you an overcomer. Somebody shout, hallelujah! Hallelujah. The devil's a liar. I said the devil's a liar. God is fierce with that which is contrary to your well-being. Anyhow, Let's go to the book of Esther real quickly. The Bible tells us that there was a queen called Vashti. Some people call her Vashti. A beautiful woman. She is the queen of Ahasuerus or Xerxes. And Ahasuerus has a great empire. 127 nations are under him. And he throws a party. He just wanted to throw a party. And this party goes on for 6 months. Can you imagine 6 months having a party? This is modern Mardi Gras. They are having a party. And after 6 months, he adds another 7 days. And during these 7 days, he wants to display his wife, his precious wife Vashti. He wants to show her off and say, you know, I got a beautiful wife. I want you to see her. And she calls her Vashti, and Vashti says, you're not going to make me a display, an object. No, I'm not coming. So she shuns him. And the other guys from the 127 nations say, you can't be doing this. That woman snubbed you like this? You the king? Now, you got to do something about this, because if you don't do something about it, when we get home, our wives are going to start doing the same thing. And everything is going, this is going to be a big mess. So you got to straighten this woman out. You got to do something. So the Bible tells us that Ahasuerus is upset. He is booing and howling and everything. And finally, in the book of Esther chapter 2 and verse 1, the Bible says that Ahasuerus comes to his rightful mind. It says, after this things, when the wrath of the king Ahasuerus was appeased,
when his wrath was appeased, he remembered Vashti.
You see, many times we are angry about so many things because our wrath has not been appeased. We attack everybody. You kick your dog and your cat and you call everybody names and you know, everything is bad and so on and so forth. But when your wrath is appeased, you come to your rightful mind and identify what the real problem is. So he was appeased and he remembered Vashti and what she had done and what was decreed against her. And so he decides, I'm going to replace this woman. So he brings out all these maidens from every nation, and they're going to go through all this kind of process, and for a whole year they will bathe themselves with all kinds of spices and perfumes and get themselves ready to show up before the king Ahasuerus. And the one that he chooses, you spend one night with him, and if he chooses you, you get to stay. And so here comes all these ladies, one after the other, and they go home, and he doesn't like that one, and he doesn't like this one, and he doesn't like this one, and he doesn't like that one. And finally, it was the turn of Esther. Esther is called to be with the king, spend one night with the king, and she's taken to a very special place. I won't tell you about all the favor she had, because that's going to keep my time off. I'm not going to digress. I'm getting to a particular point. She's called, and the eunuch that's supposed to take care of her, called Haggai, says, it's your turn. Pick whatever it is you want in the wardrobe and get dressed so you can go and see the king. And the Bible says, now when the turn of Esther, the daughter of Abihail, the uncle of Mordecai, who had taken her for his daughter, was come to go into the king, she required nothing. She required what? Nothing. But what Haggai, the king's chamberlain, the keeper of the women, appointed. And Esther obtained favor in the sight of all them that looked upon her. So she says, I'm not going to take any, I'm not going to choose for myself. You choose for me. You've been around the king. You know what he likes. Dress me with what he likes. And so she gets dressed very simple, elegantly, and she goes and she presents herself to the king. And as soon as the king saw her, says, the king says, that's the one. That's the one. Just like some of you hear this. You are going to go and present yourself for employment. You're going to fill your forms. You're going to be called for an interview. And as soon as you show up, they say, you're the one. Did you hear what I said? They're going to say what? You're the one. They're not going to check on anything else. They're just going to decide that you are the one. And you will get your job. Amen? But that's not the end of it, because God is just setting you up for something greater. Anyhow, let me go on. Praise the Lord. The Bible says, she comes in and he says, you're the one. Now Esther is now queen. But why is she queen? Remember the story about the Amalekites that we're talking about? There was a man in the top levels of that particular kingdom. His name is Haman. And he is an enemy of the Jews. His name is Haman the Agagite. Agagite. Remember the name Agag? He is from that family. So what is God doing? God is ready to override. While the enemy didn't know what God was doing, God made Vashti to make sure Vashti doesn't show up before Ahasuerus, because if Vashti shows up, Esther will not become queen. But Esther is queen because God wants to deliver his people, the Jews, from the destruction that Haman had already planned for them. Is somebody listening? The enemies that the enemy has placed in place to uproot your life, God has already gone ahead to uproot the one that wants to uproot you. The enemy that wants to destroy you is already destroyed. They just don't know it yet. God is a master planner. When you don't know why he's making the moves he's making, he's making the moves he's making for a reason. I have an uncle. I used to play African checkers with him. And I remember a game I played with him. We used to call this game Apele. He keeps on setting me up and I didn't know it. He gives me one of his chips and I hop over it and I keep it. And I'm thinking, this man is a fool. I didn't know I was the one. He gives me another one, and I skip over, and I keep the chip. And the next thing I know, he goes, ding, 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 ding. He says, crown it. He's in my home. Now, with the crowned chip that he has, he can move in any direction. He doesn't have to just move one step. He can move four steps all at the same time, and the game was over. Checkmate. That's exactly what God is going to do for you as he causes the enemy. And he's going to say, checkmate. Hallelujah. Somebody is getting checkmated right now. God is fighting for you right now. Somebody listen to what I'm saying to you. This very moment, God is on your side. And if God be for you, who can be against you? The devil's a liar. He's already defeated. He doesn't know that he's defeated, but it is finished. Just like he did on the cross when he said, "It is finished." The devil saying, "Look at this guy. What does he mean it is finished? He's dying and I'm still in charge." Oh, but the Lord had already gone to hell and seized the keys of death and grave from him, taken all authority and all power from him, and came around and hands it over to you and says, "You are now my overcoming ones." Somebody shout hallelujah. God is overcoming for you. You see, nothing needs to change in the natural for God to override. See, there's still the law of gravity, right? Yeah, still here. The law of gravity. I know for sure. Because when I threw that up, it came down. It didn't float away. It's the law of gravity. And when I didn't catch it, it kept on falling until it hit the ground. It's called the law of gravity. But there's another law called the law of lift. And when you have the law of lift, you can override the law of gravity, because a greater law supersedes that law. So shall it be for you in every area of your life. You will supersede all the other laws and take flight. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. Somebody shout hallelujah. You are overriding right now. Nothing needs to change in the natural. Nothing needs to change. Oh, nothing needs to change. Everything can still be the same, but you are going to be moving in another realm. Same job, same wages, but having breakthroughs, because your 5 cents goes further. I don't know if you're hearing me yet. The woman had one pot of oil. And God says to her, "Bring many pots." And she started pouring from the one pot of oil she had and filled all the other pots from the same pot. And that pot kept on flowing. That's what I'm talking about. Nothing needs to change. You don't need to have another job. And still, you experience the breakthroughs of God. It's called override. I say override. I say override. I say override. Hallelujah. When you go to the cashier and you're doing dealings, the cashier comes to a point where they cannot do anything, and they call on somebody else to come to override. I went to a bank the other day, and I asked for amount of money that I needed to deal with something. And the lady says, "The amount that you are asking for is beyond my limit, so let me call somebody else." I say, in the name of Jesus. As soon as that happened, I said, "Lord, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's override season." Amen. Glory be to God. When you go to the bank, they call another person and call another person and call another person to make sure that you can get what you need to get, because you are beyond what they can handle. Someone say, "I cannot be handled anymore. There's got to be overrides." Somebody shout hallelujah. So it was. God was doing a thing. The Bible says that the uncle of Esther, when she was made queen, sitting around one day, and he hears something going on. There was a plot to kill the king. And I believe the reason they wanted to kill the king was because this Jewish girl, is now queen. And they did not like it. Racism has always been around. But it doesn't matter. No matter how racist the person is, the God who has decided to bless you will bless you in spite of them. Listen, when God has made a decision that you're going to be blessed, no devil in hell can stop it. God cannot be overridden, but he can override everybody else. Glory be to God. If God needs to show up in their dreams and scare the daylights out of them, he will show up. He's done it before. If you don't do what I want, you're dead. And the person wakes up cold sweat. I will do it. When God wants you promoted, no devil in hell can stop it. So Mordecai finds out, and he goes and he tells the queen, I heard this. Investigate. So they investigate and they find out that these guys were really planning a coup. So they kill them. So now Mordecai is thinking, and the queen writes his name down and associates this great situation that exposed the enemy, puts Mordecai's name to it. You know, Mordecai went home that day and thinking, oh, praise God. Things are going in my direction. But that's not what happened. The Bible says that the person who gets honor for it, right after all of that happens, is his enemy called Haman. Haman is honored by the king. Have you ever been in a situation where you know you are the person that should receive the honor, the reward, and somebody else is getting the reward? And you think, God, where are you? Oh, God is working something. God is up to something. So it was that Haman gets the honor, and now he's so puffed up, and he comes to the king because now he has access like never before with the king, and he says, there's a certain people that want to destroy you. They are causing problems, you know, like those two guys. And these people have been bad. They are a problem to every society. Wherever they've been troubled people. Check it. So here, Ahasuerus reads up on the Jews and finds out, yeah, they've been in Egypt and they caused problems there. And they've been here and they've been there. And they've been. And he says, okay, what should we do? Haman says, I know exactly what to do. Put down in writing that all of these Jews be wiped off. We want to kill every single one of them. Ahasuerus says, okay, agreed. Puts his seal on it. And as soon as his seal goes on it, it cannot be overturned. But God was on the throne. The night before they were going to get all of this done, and Haman goes and builds gallows where he's going to hang Mordecai and the Jews, and he builds his structure, he puts them all in place, and that night, chapter 6 says, the king could not sleep. And he says, get me some books. And he brought him out of the great library. They bring him the record that has Mordecai's name on it. And so the Bible says, on that night could not a king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. Verse 2 goes on and says, it was found written that Mordecai had told of Bigtana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the door, who sought to lay hand of the king on the king Ahasuerus. And he asked a question, has anything been done for this guy? Because I don't remember I was doing anything for him. He said, no, nobody's done anything for him. He says, who is out there in the outer courts of honor? He says, Haman is here. Haman is here. Yeah, Haman is here. He says, bring Haman in here. So the king says to Haman, Haman, what do you think we should do for somebody who did such and such a thing? Something really amazing. Something incredible. For the king, if I want to honor somebody, what do you think I should do? Haman thought to himself, who else will the king want to do something for but me? So Haman says, tell you what you need to do. Put your robe on him. Put your ring on him. Get him your limo. And get somebody to be in front of that limo, blowing a trumpet and declaring, this is the kind of thing that happens for somebody that the king wants to honor. And surprise, 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 the overturn was in play. And he did not know it. The king says, I like that plan. I like your plan. That's good. Now go do it for Mordecai. I know when the king first started saying more, I think Haman was singing, I think you should do more than that. But it was too late. The next thing he hears is Mordecai. Ay, ay, ay. And you, Haman, you're going to be the one blowing that trumpet and announcing this is the kind of thing that happens. So he had to do what he had to do. And he goes home, his face covered, because everyone who is your enemy, they are going to go back in shame. I said they're going to go back in what? Shame. But you will continue with great honor. God was overturning it. He started it already. Somebody shout hallelujah. So he did that. And he goes home and he tells his wife and his friends, and he said, man, your goose is cooked. You planned death for him. I think you're the one going to die. There was an overturning. Somebody shout overturn. Somebody shout overturn. In Esther chapter 7, verse 6 through 10, the Bible says, and Esther said, the adversary and enemy is this wicked Haman. The story is this, that Haman is planning to destroy the Israelites, the Jews. Mordecai goes to Esther and tells Esther what's happening. Esther says, come on, you know I can't show up before the king just because I want to show up. I know I'm the queen, but he has to invite me. And Mordecai says, listen, if you don't do what you got to do, God is going to send help from somewhere else. So she calls for a fast, and now she invites Haman to come to a party. And Haman is so happy. You know, his story is changing, so he thinks, for the positive. The other day he left in shame. Now the queen is inviting him to come to the palace and to have coffee, tea time with the king. So they are there. They had a party for the first day. He goes home and the queen says, I want you to come again. We loved your company. He thinks, wow, things are changing for me. And he comes back.
And then the queen makes this statement. The adversary, the enemy, is this wicked Haman. Then Haman was afraid before the king and the queen, and the king leaves, steps out for a moment, and set up. The queen goes and lays on her couch or bed, and Haman comes there to the bed. And the king comes around, comes back, and sees Haman by the queen's bed. And he flips. You want my kingdom? Now you want to take my wife too? You dead man. You dead meat. Are you with me so far? For he saw that Haman was in the wrong place. The Bible says, then the king returned out of the palace garden into the place of the banquet of wine, and Haman was fallen upon the bed wherein Esther was. Then said the king, will he force the queen also before me in the house? As the word went out of the king's mouth, they covered Haman's face. Just like he covered his face when he was leaving the first time, now somebody else came and covered his face. Hallelujah. And he's taken out. Verse 9. And Habona, one of the chamberlains, said before the king, behold, praise God, behold also the gallows 50 cubits high. Do you know what 50 cubits is? That's higher than this. How do you hang somebody way up like that? 50 cubits. That's about 75, 78 feet, something like that. 75. You should know, he's the mathematician around here. Which Haman had made for whom? For Mordecai, who had spoken good for the king. Standeth in the house of Haman. Then the king said, hang him thereon. And the same gallows that were planned for Mordecai, Haman was going to hang. Hello? I'm telling you now, the pit that the enemy planted for you, he's going to fall in it. The gallows that they set up because of you, they're going to hang on it. Because God is in the business of overturning. Somebody said, override. Overturn. Override. Overturn. Override. Overturn. In Esther chapter 8, I begin to move towards landing. Esther 8, verse 1. It says, on that day did the king Ahasuerus give the house of Haman, the Jews' enemy, unto Esther the queen. And Mordecai came before the king, for Esther had told what he was unto her. In other words, listen, you were not known. You are known only as one that helped to protect, but now you are going to be known as a relative of the queen. This is another level of knowing. Praise the Lord. This is going to release greater favor. Hallelujah. 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 Verse 2. And the king took off his ring. He didn't ask for it. He took off his ring, which he had taken from Haman, because Haman was not going to be hung with that ring. He took his ring back, and he puts it in the hand of Mordecai. And Esther set Mordecai over the house of what? He set Mordecai over the what? He set Mordecai over the what? Now he's in charge. Are you talking about overturning things? That's what God said he's going to do. These meetings are to accomplish that very fact. And that's why God set it up that this meeting starts on the 57th day that coincides
I don't know how many times it's coincided perfectly like this, but this year it coincided with this feast of Purim. Because God is trying to declare to every one of us here, this is time for the override, for the overturn, and for the overcome. Praise the Lord. Let's go on. Verse 3. And Esther spake yet again before the king, and fell down at his feet and besought him with tears to put away the mischief of him and the Agagite, and his device that he had devised against the Jews. 4. Then the king held out the golden scepter toward Esther. So Esther arose and stood before the king. Verse 5. Key voice. And said, if it please the king, and if I have found favor in his sight, and the thing seem right before the king, and I be pleasing in his eyes, let it be written to reverse the letters. Let it be written to reverse the letters devised by Haman, the son of Hammedatar the Agagite, which he wrote to destroy the Jews which are in all the king's provinces. Notice that word, to reverse the what? Letters. That's another word for override and overturn. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Verse 10. Verse 10. See, the enemy wanted to destroy the people of God. And Esther is saying, how can I be here to see the destruction of my people? Now, verse 10, the Bible tells us that the king says to Mordecai, write another law. You see, because with this, with the Medes and the Persians, once it is stated, it is stated. And the only way to override it was for another law to be made. You cannot cancel the first law. It is what it is. But we're going to write another law here. But this is where you and I get to play. This law, Mordecai writes, and the king puts his seal on it. And this law says, anybody that tries to destroy the people of the Jews, that the Jews now have the right to get them out, destroy them before they destroy them, the Jews. Are you with me? And God is giving you the power. You said, when did he give you the power? When he said, whatever it is that you bind on earth is bound in the heavens. And whatever it is that you loose will also be loose. God is giving you the right, the power to take charge of your destiny. Praise the Lord. Don't be a forgetful hearer of the word of God, but be a doer of the works. James 1 and verse 22 says this. Get me there. James 1 and verse 22. I'm going to give you a battery of scriptures and I'm going to pray with you. But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. There are so many believers who know what the word of God says but are not doing it, and the end result is you get deceived. You do not get the manifestation of the will of God. It's like me saying to you, God wants to prosper you. God wants to bless you. God wants to do great things in your life. And you do not line up your life to be in agreement with that. It will happen, but you will not enjoy it. If you want an open heaven over your life, you've got to be a tither. You've got to be a giver. Hello? Don't be a forgetful hearer of the word of God, deceiving your own selves. 23. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer. He's like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. 24. For he beholded himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. He forget. Now back to Esther. I want you to see something. Esther 8, verse 13. And the copy of the writing for a commandment to be given in every province was published unto all people, and that the Jews should be ready. The Jews should be what? Ready. The Jews should be what? Ready against that day to avenge themselves on their enemies. 14. So the post that rode upon mules and camels went out, being hastened. Someone say hastened. And pressed on by the king's commandment. And what? Pressed on. Let there be a pressing on. Let there be a hastening of the commandment of the king. But what was the commandment of the king? It was written by Mordecai. It was written by whom? Mordecai. Now, this is what I want you to do for tonight. Every one of you should make certain that you are here tonight. Bring your writing. Those things that you want to see God do. What is it that you want to see overturned, overridden? What is it that you want to overcome? Bring it and raise it up before God. Let God hasten and press on the king's commandment. And the decree was given at Shushan, the palace, just like the decree shall be given in the heavens today. Hallelujah. 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 Verse 13. 14. Now 15. Verse 15. And Mordecai went out from the presence of the king in what? Royal apparel of blue and white, and with a great crown of gold. Are you with me? And with a garment of fine linen and purple. And the city of Shushan rejoiced and was what? Glad. You will be celebrated. I will be celebrated. We shall be celebrated. Hallelujah. Because God is overturning something. 16. The Jews had light. The Jews had what? The Jews had what? That means they used to have what? Something changed. Hallelujah. They had light, and they had gladness, and they had joy, and they had what? Honor. 17. And in every province and in every city, whichsoever the king's commandment and his decree came, the Jews had joy and gladness, a feast and a good day. A good day. Hallelujah. And many of the people of the land became Jews. Oh, Karabosha. Did you hear what it says? They became Jews. That means they were not Jews before, but they became Jews. That means they were Gentiles and they became Jews. That means they were unbelievers and they became believers. This is the greatest hour of the church. Somebody shout hallelujah. Why? For the fear of the Jews fell upon them. We don't care how they come to be into the kingdom, one way or the other they come in. Glory be to God. It's a total turnaround. Somebody shout, turn around. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Chapter 9, verse 1. Now in the 12th month, that is the month of Adar, on the 13th day of the same, when the king's commandment and his decree drew near to be put in execution, in the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them. The enemy thinks that he's going to have power, but he doesn't have any power. He only hoped, but his hope comes to naught. Amen? In that day, the enemies of Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned. It was what? Turned to the what? Contrary. Notice it. In the day that the enemies of the Jews hoped to have power over them, though it was turned to the contrary. That means even though the enemy was defeated, he was still hoping. How many people want to disappoint the devil and his cohorts? They can keep on hoping, but we are more than conquerors. It turned it to the contrary that the Jews had rule. The Jews had rule. The believers had rule over them that hated them. So shall you have rule over those that hated you. The one that wants to throw you out of that business, throw you out of that company, you are going to be their boss. Did you hear what I said? You are the boss man. You are the boss woman. Hallelujah. In fact, some of you are going to run the businesses that you are working for. You are going to take ownership of it. You say, Pastor, you're just talking. Okay. If that's what you think. Or you can be smart enough to receive the prophetic word. That business was set up for you. You're going to run it. Amen? It's yours. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Verse 2. I know I've kept you long, but just be with me. I want you to be ready for tonight. The Jews gathered themselves together in their cities throughout all the province of King Ahasuerus to lay hand on such as sought their heart. And no man could withstand them, for the fear of them fell upon all people. Now take me to the book of Ezekiel. Ezekiel 21 and verse 27. This is what I want you to know, child of God. You have the anointing to override. You have the anointing to experience a total overturn. And now you are enforcing as an overcomer the plans and the decrees of God, who has declared you blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. You're going to download that which is happening in the heavens and force it down here into the earth realm. Amen? God says, I will overturn. 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 How many times did he say it? 3 times. You think he means it? I will overturn it. And it shall be what? No more. Just like he said about the Amalekites, I'm going to wipe them out. He says, it shall be no more until he come whose right it is. Whose right is it? Mine. Yours. And I will give it him. Praise the Lord. I will give it what? Him. Praise the Lord. The word of God says to us in Revelation chapter 12 and verse 11. Revelation 12 and verse 11. Hear this. And they what? Overcame. I want you all to read it together. And they overcame him by the what? Blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, and they loved not their lives unto the death. Do you know what those 3 things are? 1, the blood of the Lamb. We've heard that word. And by the word of their testimony, that's the confession of your lips. And the last one, they loved not their lives unto the death. In other words, they did not hold anything back from God. That is the offering of your life unto God. God, you've got me. I'm totally yours. I'm not holding anything back from you. That's how you overcome. The blood of the Lamb, the confession of your lips, and you giving your all to God, living it out there. Not partial, complete. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 21. Revelation 3 and verse 21. To him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. The one who overcomes, I will grant access, not just to come into my presence, I'll grant him access to sit with me. Did you hear that? Did you hear what God said? The Lord says, I will grant you access to sit with me in my throne. Even as I also overcame and I'm set down with my Father in his throne. I'm sitting with my Father in his throne. And you're going to sit with me in my throne, which means that I am sitting with him and his Father in the throne. Is that too much? Sister is looking at me and saying, I don't know about that. Know about it. You and I are going to sit with him in his throne. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Revelation chapter 3. Verse 17. Hear this. This is you and I, because you see, Amalek fought with Israel in Rephidim. Rephidim is a place of support, the place of rest, the place that you want to feel comfortable. You think you got it. And what the enemy did when they attacked Israel was they got Israel out of that place of just being satisfied with what they got. And this is what God is saying to us today. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and you think you got enough. Because you can buy some groceries, and you can have some clothes on, and nice car, nice house, and you think that's all that God wants for you. Please get yourself from your selfish self. And understand that God has more in his mind than just meeting your need. Because thou says, I'm rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing. And knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Verse 18. Watch this. I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich. You think you're rich. He says, I want you to check me out so I can make you rich. And white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that thy shame, the shame of thy nakedness, do not appear. And anoint thine eyes with oil salve, that thou mayest see. You think you're saying, I want to do something for you so you can really see. Verse 19, watch this. It's coming. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. And verse 20, watch this now. Behold, I stand
at the door and knock. We normally think about this only in terms of salvation, and God is saying, this is not just about salvation, this is about you being clothed, this is about you being real rich. Did I read the context for you? If any man hear my voice, if you just hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him and he with me. Open the door and dare to believe me that I can turn your life around. Dare to believe. Hallelujah. Are there any believers here? Do you believe that God is overriding, overturning, and causing you to overcome? Then shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Verse 21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me. If you overcome, how do you overcome? You open the door. That's it. You let God be God in your life. That's how you overcome. It says, I will grant you the privilege to sit with me on the throne. And 22. He that hath an ear, you've got ears, hear what the Spirit says unto the churches. And I wrap up with this final verse. I want you to come with me to Psalm 92. Psalm 92. In Psalm 92, beginning to read from verse 7, the Bible tells us about the enemies of God and his people. This is when the wicked spring as the grass, and when all the workers of iniquity do flourish, it is that they shall be destroyed forever. Verse 8. For thou, Lord, art most high forevermore. Verse 9. For lo thine enemies, O Lord, for lo thine enemies shall what? Perish. All the workers of iniquity shall be what? Scattered. And verse 10, this is about you. But my horn, read this out loud with me. But my horn shalt thou exalt like the horn of an unicorn. I shall be anointed with what? Fresh oil. I shall be anointed with what? Fresh oil. I shall be anointed with what? Fresh oil. This is God's promise to you as an overcomer. Rise with me. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. That the Lord hath made. I will rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And be glad in it. For this is the day that the Lord God has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. This is the day, this is the day that the Lord God has made. Somebody shout with me, override,
override.
Overturn,
overturn,
overcome. Hallelujah. Lord, you establish this moment to declare and to decree these words over your sons and your daughters. We rehearse in our hearing as ones that possess our possessions, as ones that step into the promised land,
that you have committed yourself to utterly destroy the spirit of Amalek. Today, in the mighty name of Jesus, we declare by the authority of your word that the spirit of Amalek be destroyed from your people, and that there be a restoration of peace and divine victory for your people in the mighty name of Yeshua HaMashiach. And all of God's people together in agreement said, yes and amen. We declare, O God, that the plans of the enemy are overridden. They are overturned, and we are overcomers. By your precious blood, we have overcome. By the word of our testimony, we have overcome. And because, Lord, we hold not anything back from you, we have overcome. We are overcomers. For those that are born of the Spirit of God have overcome the world. Thank you, Lord, for overcoming grace. Somebody shout hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
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 Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Well, we're going to honor God at this time with our giving. Those of you listening online, respond now with your giving. Those of you that are here that have not released your offering, your tithe, and your offerings or your vows, do so now. And this morning, I want you not only to just give your regular offering, but I want to encourage you to hear from God to also sow a seed towards these meetings. In these meetings, not only are we going to honor our speakers with reasonable honorarium, but we are going to build some wells. We're going to dig some wells. Amen? Because God is calling us to a Rehoboth. God is calling us to a place where we are going to continue to expand in His goodness. All the resistance of the enemy against your life, against my life, against us as a people is now being crushed by the authority of the word of God. Amen? So come, honor God with your giving. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. And now we are also going to honor God with our, in a time of communion together. Mama, if you want to come. This is the body of the Lord. It's the body that was broken to make certain that we experience the manifold blessings, the three chords of overriding, overturning, and overcoming. The Lord Jesus Christ did all of that for us. He took our sin and gave us righteousness. He took our poverty and gave us wealth and riches. He took our sicknesses and our diseases and gave to us divine health. Today, as you take off this body and you take off this cup, may all that God purposed be manifested in your life. And may the grace and the anointing to enforce the will of God in the earth be established in you to the glory of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. In Jesus' name, take and eat.
Jesus shed his blood for us, and before he went to the cross, he took bread, he broke it, that was his body, took wine, and said that was his blood. So as you take off this morning, know that you have the royal blood of God flowing in your veins. That blood can never make you sick. You just need to believe it.
Amen.
Amen. And if you are sick, that sickness shall be pushed out of your system.
In Jesus' name.
Surely as you eat and you digest your food and you are able to release it, so shall sickness be released out of your body.
Amen.
In the name of Jesus.
Amen.
Sickness and disease have no power over you.
Thank
Even
you, Father.
Death has been conquered.
In Jesus'
he
name.
He took the key of the grave and of the death. And he took it, and now it belongs to Jesus. Mm. And he's giving us his abundant life. So as you take of this morning, may this blood speak better things.
Yes.
The blood of Jesus speak better things than that of Abel. May it overturn everything that needs to be overturned in your life.
Yes.
May it bring new changes. May you overcome.
Yeah.
And may everything that needs to be overridden be overridden.
Amen.
In Jesus' name, take and drink.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for every one of you. We look forward to having an experience with the Lord tonight in the finale of our gathering together at this time of celebration. May God's hand rest upon every one of you. And may God do for you what you cannot do for yourself.
Amen.
Amen? Be blessed and be highly favored of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Be healed. Be restored. Be made whole.
Amen.
And may you come back with a testimony.
Yes.
Be here tonight and bring a friend. And also those who can attend, watch on Zoom.
Amen.
And YouTube. On YouTube and Facebook, in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Your life will never be the same.
Hallelujah.
Get involved and partake of the grace of the men of God that are speaking over you. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
God well, we bless you all. Enjoy the goodness of the Lord. See you tonight.
Amen.
Love you. We'll talk to guys on Zoom in a moment.
Yes.
Sir Charlotte.
God bless you.